Ah, come on.
Feeling like you might freak out? Try Guaranteed Ride Home from Commuter Connections. If you ride share to work, you are eligible to receive a couple of free rides home each year, guaranteed. Why freak out about getting home in case of illness, unexpected emergencies, or unscheduled overtime? Register or renew today for free at commuterconnections.org or 800-745-RIDE. That's commuterconnections.org. Some restrictions apply.
Hello, hello, hello. It's Tisha Lewis here at the Fox 5 DC Podcast Studios in the nation's capital in Northwest. And sitting to my left is Jason Howell. Hi.
Good morning, Tisha.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us on The Good Word. It is a faith-based podcast that we tape here at our Fox 5 DC studios. And you, my friend, are going to be chatting with us about the intersection of faith and, drumroll, please, finance.
Yes, my favorite topic.
Money. Show me the money. Okay. All right. So what do we need to know?
Well, you need to know so much about how faith and finance interact and intersect, because most people think, you know, money is the root of all evil. And if you actually go to the definitive words around that, it's really love of money is the root of all evil. So you can be very comfortable and saying, I want to actually be prosperous for the benefit of not just myself, but my family and the world. It's okay. It's a good thing.
All right, Jason, so who are you? I mean, why should we believe anything you have to say?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so important and trustworthy. Well, my name is Jason Howell. I've been in the area for just over 32 years. So I'm a kind of a local at this point, since it's been most of my life.
You don't look that old.
I know. I do moisturize and smile a lot. That helps. That helps a good bit. But I'm a certified financial planner. Only about 25% of all the financial planners in the country are actually certified financial planners. I own my own firm. It's called Jason Howell Company. I'm very creative. And gosh, we've been in business about 4 years.
That's awesome. That's very, very awesome. So you are in Northern Virginia.
Yes, I am.
And you've explained to us why we should believe what you have to say.
Well, those are a couple of the reasons.
You also have a pretty fabulous book that is in front of us called The Joy of Financial Planning, Seven Strategies for Transforming Your Finances and Reclaiming Your American Dream. I have not read it yet, disclaimer, but I will.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm a book nut, so I will add it to my reading list.
Thank you
for doing that. Where does your faith come into all of this?
My faith has been a part of me from very, very early on. My family always had a strong foundation in faith, even though we moved around a lot. Mm-hmm. And so we visited different kinds of churches. Mm-hmm. And in between churches, we had our own little Bible study at the end of the night. And so I had a great opportunity to see different sort of faith cultures and not necessarily get wedded to one or the other, but feel like I knew I was going to be spiritual and even independent. There was a time right after college where a Christian group I was a part of decided to start a church. And I got to be part of a church start back in 1997.
Oh, what was that like?
It was fascinating. I had just purchased a Bible from the recently deceased Borders. And I purchased my own Bible. I figured I wanted to take my own faith journey independently as a college graduate. And then someone said they wanted to start a church, a Christian church. So I figured, yeah, I'll raise my hand. I'll join in. And it was such an opportunity to see not only the deeper side of the spiritual side by wanting to lead in, you know, in church, but also the other side, the business end of it, and how that can really affect what happens within the church. And so it was an education. It helped me understand how churches work and interact now, and sometimes where the failings come and why they come.
So your book talks about seven strategies to transform your finances. We don't want to give all seven.
No,
because we
want
folks
careful.
To get the book.
That's right.
But why don't you give us the one that's most important?
Well, number one is family governance. And family governance is in and around developing a high net worth family and a high self worth family for each of your family members for generations. So it's this idea of saying, not only do I want to make sure I'm okay and that my current nuclear family is okay, but I want to make sure my surname, the last name, is okay for generations to come. I think that's so important with all the challenges we face as a country, as a planet, that we, the people, actually take charge of our finances, not just for this generation, but for future generations, and help solve the problems that the institutions are struggling with.
Where do you start?
Where do I start where?
Where do people start when it comes to taking a look at their financial blueprint?
Oh, the easiest thing to do is figure out your net worth and actually measure that. And so all your net worth is all the money you got, all the money you owe, and the difference. That's it.
That sounds simple.
It is simple. It's a subtraction problem. It's arithmetic. So you do that. Let's say you've got $1,000 in your savings account. Let's say you've got a car that's worth $10,000 and you don't have a loan on it. And then you have a credit card that you owe $1,000 on. So 11,000 minus 1,000, your net worth is 10. That's it, 10,000. Mm-hmm. And over time, it's so interesting to see how that can change. I teach a personal finance class at American University, so very close to here. And I tell the students to measure their net worth on a regular basis, even though their net worth might be $12. Mm-hmm. You'll see the difference semester by semester. And I tell adults that I work with to measure their net worth, and they'll see the difference year over year. But the trick is to measure it, and there's something that happens to your brain. You want that net worth figure to be bigger, and you start doing things subconsciously to ensure that it does get bigger.
Mm-hmm. Are we talking about finances enough in the faith-based community, in the church?
Well, I know we talk about it in the church. I'm part of a church, but usually it's around giving season. Usually it's around building season when we're trying to get a new building going. So there are opportunities to include more of that conversation when it isn't just contributing to the nonprofit that is the church. I'm a catalyst for that at my church. I think the more opportunities we have to spread financial education is the more opportunity we're going to have to empower the good people when it comes to finances. You know, some of the reason that a lot of us sort of innately feel like, well, going after money is a bad thing is because usually the people that are really into money and power aren't typically the best people. And I see it as my mission in life to empower as many good people, quote unquote, as I can, so that they can then leverage their success and their opportunity to build and create great things in the world.
Right. So we do talk about money in the church when it comes to tithe and offering and building a new church.
That's right.
But maybe not so much outside of those specific arenas. And, you know, quite honestly, it seems like the younger generation is being given a lot of tools to deal with finances. But there's people my age who are a hot mess and a half. Don't know how to balance a checkbook.
Uh-huh.
Don't understand credit card usage. And
sure.
The list goes on.
Sure.
So how do you tackle the folks that are... Well, I'm still considered a millennial. I'm on the cusp, y'all.
Oh, good for you. No, stay on the cusp. That's where you need to be.
But how do you, you know, tackle older individuals with challenges?
Well, with older individuals, they tend to have the same problems that younger individuals do. That's how I can teach a class at AU and then still have clients and then have people who are not clients, you know, buy the book and still have essentially similar issues. The number one issue we all have is attention. Having attention to our money is the very first step to starting to take control of your money. And we all want control of our money, but we sometimes don't give it the attention it deserves. I started my career in banking in college in the early 90s. People used to come in and ask for a statement. Well, they weren't asking for a statement, they were asking for a printout. But they didn't want to wait for their statement at the end of the month. And so they came into the bank and they asked for a printout and I would give it to them. And I kind of laughed because I was a teller, I could see my printout anytime I wanted to and I didn't have to print it out. But today we don't have to worry about the bank. We can just go online or on our phone and see all the numbers. But because it's so easy, we don't look. We don't keep attention to it. Whether it's mint.com or a bunch of other apps, we can organize and categorize all of our expenditures and actually see what it is so we don't bother doing it. But if we decided once a month or at the end of the week or at every paycheck just to look at things and separate stuff into I intended to spend this and I didn't intend to spend that, we would start to consciously see things that we're doing that maybe we didn't mean to and start take control.
Ah, come on. Feeling like you might freak out? Try Guaranteed Ride Home from Commuter Connections. If you ride share to work, you are eligible to receive a couple of free rides home each year, guaranteed. Why freak out about getting home in case of illness, unexpected emergencies, or unscheduled overtime? Register or renew today for free at commuterconnections.org or 800-745-RIDE. That's commuterconnections.org. Some restrictions apply.
So, Jason, let me ask you, how does someone such as yourself decide, you know what, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go all in, and I'm even going to write a book to help other people. There had to be some challenges along the way.
Well, there were and always are and still will be challenges along the way when it comes to this financial world. You know, for me, I would say it's accidental, but, you know, my dad got me into banking in college instead of waiting tables, and so that was kind of intentional. I remember going to the bank at the time. It was a very small bank called Household Bank, and I talked to the person who was going to hire me, and he said, well, sorry, We only have full-time positions. I told my dad this, and he said, that's fine. You can do full-time school and full-time work. So it started there. I did full-time teller work. I did full-time school work. I majored in accounting. I did corporate accounting for a bunch of years. I recruited accounting and finance folks. I even ran for office in 2012 on a financial platform. And when I lost that election, I decided, you know what? I need to take all this information that I know, that I've been trying to save other families with, and pour it into individual families one by one. And so whether it's the firm that I have now, the teaching that I do at colleges, or the book itself available at Barnes & Noble on November 9th and 16th for book signing, these are all the ways and mechanisms I have to be able to basically teach the community how to take care of themselves, take control, and again, go back and solve the problems that we're all facing as a community.
In your experience, who's the least informed? Is it young people, older people, women, men?
Who needs the most help? I would say our Gen X generation is in need of help because they're on the precipice of all the things that the older folks are already facing. So when it comes to people who are really in the high end of the millennials, the people who are on the cusp of the millennials, probably not you, but the oldest millennials, not you, are turning 40.
The oldest millennials.
Yeah, next year and the year after, they're turning 40. So they're about to have their couple of kids. They're probably already married. Gen Xers like myself have already walked down that path. And so, you know, we're at this precipice. I call it the retirement experiment. You know, the 401k was essentially invented in 1978. Mm-hmm. It started getting implemented in 1981. We are the first generations, millennials and Xers, to be exploring this world of retirement mm-hmm. without that safety net of a pension mm-hmm. and with a very small Social Security check, which is supposed to be about a third of your income mm-hmm. when you're older. Mm-hmm. And so without the tools of a pension and without the thinking that we're supposed to work till we drop, we are the retirement experiment, having saved our money for the first time, if we did. Mm-hmm. And so right now the attention is laser focused on those folks in their 40s and early 50s.
That's awesome. Finance is not necessarily my forte, but I have done the responsible thing since I've gotten older.
Congratulations, Tisha. I'm so proud of you.
Set up college savings for my daughter.
Excellent.
And, stuff for me.
Oh, stuff for you. You too. Oh, come on. It's not fair.
Stuff for me. And so, we're all about helping people live their best life on The Good Word. Again, we are a faith-based podcast, but finance is very, very, very important.
Yes.
And I think that, just growing up in the church, my first lesson with finance was tithe and offering.
Yes.
You know, giving 10% of the gross, not the net, for okay. tithe. And then obviously, of course, offering. Tax season is among us or upcoming, or maybe you're behind, what have you. But what are some good write-offs?
Oh my gosh, this is what you want to know? What are some good write-offs? Oh my gosh. Well,
yes.
First thing, the best opportunity for write-offs is to start a business. Talk about taking control. Because there you have an opportunity where our federal government and our state government is supporting us in creating value, not just for ourselves, but for the community.
So I need to start a business.
Starting a business
okay.
is the way to go. And in 2019, 2020, we have more opportunities to start a business independently at our desks, in our homes, on our phones, than we ever had. Mm-hmm. In the book, I talk about the unique challenges millennials and Xers face as really the adult generation of today. But we also have unique opportunities. There was never a time when our parents could have used their phone to make any money.
Sure.
There was never a time when they could take their car and just, have an application on there and drive people around and make money.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have all those opportunities to there's sites like Upworks and Fiverr, whatever talent or skill you have, if you're a good writer, if you're a good editor, if you are a driver, anything you can do, you can do on the side and make extra income. And when you do that, our government supports that vis-a-vis the tax code.
Excellent. So see, you guys, I'm helping you out. You can thank me later. Jason
Lewis.
Howell, giving us some useful nuggets to kind of give your finances a boost. A lot of people have trouble saving.
Yes.
Where can they start? Is it something as simple as a nominal amount every month, mm-hmm. or is it something a little bit more in depth?
Well, I'll give you the advice I gave you a minute ago. Number one, it's attention. And so if you have trouble saving, that must mean that you feel like you should be saving, but you don't. So you probably have a little extra money but you're not setting it aside. So attention is the first thing. The second thing is, if you have a regular W-2 job, you can go to HR and say, instead of direct depositing all of my money in that checking account where I spend it all, direct deposit some of that money into a separate savings account where I have to go to that account to move the money over. That means I'm conscious of it. And if you really are frustrated about not saving, you won't do it unless it's an emergency. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't want to interact with HR because you're just uncomfortable doing that and messing anything up when it comes to payroll, again, today in 2019, you can create that for yourself. Go online and make an automatic transfer on the day that you get paid. Mm-hmm. So if you get paid once a month and you know what day to make it have an automatic transfer,
sure,
twice a month or every other week, do the automatic transfer. The money comes out, so essentially you don't see it every day and you only spend what's essentially left over. The old rule is pay yourself first.
I like that.
Pay yourself first, take care of yourself first, and then you can spend the rest on bills and everything else that you'd like to.
So, John, some of the folks listening to us right now on iTunes, Audio Boom, or Google Play may have some questions.
Yes.
Or several questions. Where and how can they find you?
Well, my name is Jason Howell, so you can go to jasonhowell.com.
Jason.
I've got a beautiful brother named John. He's a great guy. Great guy.
Jason.
Yes, but jasonhowell.com. You can go there. You can find me easily. All my contact information, jason@jasonhowell.com. If you want to check out the book, you can go to joyofinancialplanning.com. And like I said, there's I'm going to be there at Barnes & Noble in Tyson's Corner on November 9th and 16th from 4 to 6 p.m. Both of those are Saturdays. The book itself is available for pre-sale on Amazon. It won't come out on Amazon until December 3rd. So if you want a preview, come out November 9th and 16th.
Awesome. And everyone who comes in The Good Word, we have to ask you, what is The Good Word?
The Good Word is joy. Joy of the season, joy of financial planning.
You make it sound so joyous and joyful.
I'm glad I do.
That is the approach we all need to take toward our money, and an attitude of joy.
Yes.
Tis the season. Wonderful. Well, Jason Howell, author of Joy of Financial Planning, 7 Strategies for Transforming Your Finances and Reclaiming Your American Dream. Thank you so much for coming on The Good Word.
Thank you for having
me. You guys
me.
Also be sure to join our Facebook group. Jason, have you joined?
I haven't joined yet. Oh, my gosh. There's a Facebook group?
Yes, there's a Good Word Facebook group. Be sure to join it on Facebook. Search The Good Word. We post a lot of exclusive content in there and also some nuggets for our upcoming episodes. This one, we'll post some information about Jason's.
That's one.
I want to say John, but Jason's book signings on November 9th and 16th at Barnes Noble and Tyson's Corner. We'll post some information about that in our Facebook group as well. Jason, thank you again.
Tisha, thank you.